Talk Breakfast. The kickoff with Steve Hothersall.
Radio City Talk.
Heads here to talk about Everton. And of course, the Blue Room is back on Wednesday from 6:30 to 7:30. Let's start with a reflection on the defeat at Spurs. I suppose Everton had to lose sometime in 2017, but perhaps not in that manner.
Yeah, it was well, certainly for 25 minutes in the first half, it was really, really poor. It was just a strange one for me because, you know, we started all right, but I think we fell into the trap that Koeman's done recently of almost trying to change his team to suit the opposition. I'd mentioned this a couple of times previously, but we'd won the game or at Middlesbrough we drew the game, and it doesn't look so bad. But I think on Sunday it caught up with him a little bit because he does have a habit of doing that. He does sort of tailor his team to what the opposition are doing. And I thought Sunday we were a little bit too negative. And obviously playing Gareth Barry just left us short in centre midfield. I have no idea why he played Gareth Barry. I think we're past that now. And we've got other options, the likes of James McCarthy, and that we can change the formation. So we were caught for legs a little
almost
bit.
Almost out of respect, that.
I know.
Wasn't it?
Well, I think in the last few matches, he's gone far too heavy with centre midfielders because he's got a lot of centre midfielders. And I don't quite understand why he's, it's because he's got so many. But I think Gareth Barry is the last one I'd play. Maybe he thought that having him in there, he could get a grip of the game and try and control it a little bit. But Spurs are just too good and they put you under too much pressure. And I know, you know, as we've seen for the first goal, it only takes backing off a couple of yards to give Kane that little bit of extra space for him to score a goal. And
keeper should have done better.
He should have.
Don't get me wrong. Great shot. Yeah. But what's he doing diving over the ball?
He should have. But don't give Kane that kind of space to score. You know, if you stop the initial issue, then he hasn't got a shot.
Well, Gareth Barry should have stopped the initial.
Well, he should have. And to be fair, the second goal as well, I don't really blame on Robles because Snyderlin wanted the ball. And he got Robles should have.
Robles, eh? Well, not Robles.
That's his name.
Robles. Is that the real Everton name?
That's his name.
Sorry.
Joel should have had enough sense to not give him the ball, see the full picture, but he hasn't. Snyderlin's lost it. But it shows we've still scored a couple of goals and we've played poorly. And maybe we'd set out to be a little bit more positive. Then who knows? We could have got something. But yeah, we were due to lose sometime and that's it. Now we have to start again.
I think other teams had shown how you get at Spurs. Liverpool showed how you get at Spurs. You've got to beat them in the midfield because they've got two sort of very dynamic and hard-working midfielders, haven't they? Wanyama. And, you know, actually Everton didn't take any of that on board. I think that, you know, in hindsight, you look at that and that's an opportunity missed.
It's negative, that's what it was. You've got to Dembele and Wanyama, you've got to throw a net on them and you've got to outrun them. And the only way you're going to outrun them is probably by having that extra man in there. And that's what James McCarthy is. And okay, I can't say what his fitness is like, but surely he's got the legs in there. And we've seen this when we played Chelsea early on in the season. We got beat 5-0. It all came from centre midfield. It all started with Gareth Barry getting caught on the turn. And it was the same on Sunday. You can't, he's been a good servant. He's been a brilliant Premier League player. But you can't honestly tell me that he's got anything left to offer more than James McCarthy, more than changing the shape and having three at the back. I think now he's a sub at best. And that happens to all players. And there's nothing wrong with that. He's 36. He's, you know, got more Premier League appearances than anyone else. Don't let him become one of those players that you start
resenting.
Yeah, exactly. And there's too many of them. And it happens, you know, it happens too much. So to let him, he should have ordered.
It's a shame when that happened. And it happened a lot with Tim Howard, didn't it?
It did, yeah.
There's a point in which a player who is admired and almost lauded actually goes past that point and you start, and resenting is the right word. You resent the fact that they're involved in the whole game from the start.
You do, and you start to, it starts to tarnish their whole career. It's happened to quite a few players at Everton, the likes of David Weir, Alan Stubbs. You start looking at them and thinking, no, Phil Neville's another one. Sometimes they just turn as well really quickly. And you think someone should be man enough to end it for them. And I expect Koeman to be actually a little bit more ruthless than other men. You can understand, I understand Roberto Martinez. He's quite soft-centred, but Koeman's quite quite hard, and you expect them to do that. And I just hope Sunday is that's the lesson learned now.
Right, okay, let's move on to Romelu Lukaku. So all reports today talking about Romelu Lukaku signing his brand new deal. Here's some of the tweets that have come in. Charlie says, I'm sorry, but you can't tell me Lukaku will be at Everton in 2 to 3 years' time. Phil says the biggest thing with Lukaku signing a new deal is that we must know who we're targeting in the summer, and he must be impressed by it. Simon Curry says, don't believe the Lukaku new deal means anything but a larger transfer fee in the summer. So they're not total sort of positives coming out of some of the correspondence we're getting.
I mean, that's what you've just read out three. I'm sure there's more positivity out there. You've got to look at it and think, well, the positives are it's March, so you know, maybe he has seen what's going on and who's coming in, and not necessarily who's coming in, but you know, the caliber of player. You know, whatever Ronald Koeman said to him in the summer to convince him to possibly just throw another year at it, as it might just be continuation from that.
What do you understand is the contract that he signed?
I mean, there's varying amounts. I mean, someone who I do, you know, put a lot of stock in is someone is Paul Joyce, and he's written, I think, 140,000. And there's no mention of a buyout clause, where if you look at someone like the Mirror, the first thing they've gone with is a buyout clause. I can imagine that.
There's no way there's a clause in there that ties him to the club. He will have complete control on what he wants to do in that contract.
Well, I think he'll have complete control anyway. He had complete control because he had 2 years left. So that's complete control, having 2 years left on your contract. I think what will have happened is they'll have sat down with him and he'll have made it known that if a huge club comes in for him, that he'd like to listen to the offer. And that's the same for most players. But also, I'm sure his agents, being one of the top agents in the world, will also know if there is any interest in him. And if there isn't that interest, then he's probably said, well, it probably is best for you to sign. You know, keep your options open. But while you've got your options open, you know, earn a little bit more money. I think what's got to happen now is, and I think it's not really happened in his time at Everton, is Everton have to embrace this contract. And you know, if you look at things in the last couple of years, things like when Everton are selling the kits and when they're selling the season tickets, Lukaku's not really on any of the posters or any of the, you know, anything attached to it. I think that's one thing Everton have got to do now, is almost just lure them as their number one player, then the icon of this team. Make him loved almost in a way, and make him, you know, merchandise, and make him, he is Everton's star. So start pushing him out there as Everton's star, put him on everything. You know, I know that's a double-edged sword because he could leave, but take that gamble and make him feel a little bit more loved, and make him know that he is the big star at Everton, and maybe make the fans feel a little bit more secure. Because I think there is a lot of fans that feel like they keep him at arm's length, just for the fact that they don't want to be hurt that if he leaves. And I think that creates that little bit of...
It can do no harm, can it, making him feel special? I came down the road towards Goodison the other day, and for the first time I can remember, the first billboard is a brilliant picture of him.
Of Rom, yeah.
Now, that's the first time I can remember that being in that position, which is... I think that's the iconic billboard because it's the one right next to Dixie Dean, the statue, and it's the one that everyone sees when they drive to the ground. And I thought, isn't that amazing? That's it. And that was because we'd had the conversation about you don't really see him being the major marketing tool, and he should be.
I know they've just like created a T-shirt with him for his breaking the Premier League record, and I know they've had like a couple of T-shirts before and stuff. But I think people feel a little bit like, I don't want to buy into it because, and this comes back to maybe what we've spoken about before about who the names on the back of the shirts, and is he loved? And I almost feel like every year we have the same conversation: is Romelu Lukaku leaving? And if we can put that to bed for just a little bit, and because he's signing a contract. I remember when Suarez signed his contract, and Liverpool put a big thing on the cop, and the day after they had to leave, they had to just sort of. Get their thingos out, their the paint scrapers out and take it off.
Do you know what the difference was, though? Suarez was loved from the start to the end.
Of course.
And yet we've had this conversation about Romelu.
But even if there was fear, people embraced them. And even when he said, I want to sign for Arsenal, people just said, sound, you're not signing for Arsenal. We're just going to continue to love him. And I think people have just got to, it's got to be a two-way thing. I think the gap's got to, you know, the club have got to say, he's our number one star. No matter what happens, we're going to put him front and centre. Stop worrying about what could happen and just embrace him as Everton's highest Premier League goalscorer, if that actually means anything. And put him front and centre on the kits and everything and just take that chance. And if anything bad happens, it happens. It's football. You've left the door open. I'm sure Everton are going to ask for a huge price and someone's got to meet that price.
What is that price right now if someone buys him?
Even though he's signing a new contract, it's probably the same as it was last season, which is 80 million.
You could buy Romelu for £80 million, yeah? I'm trying to think of another player that he's sort of equivalent to.
I mean, Pogba's the record, isn't he? 100. So if you want to buy him 80 million, surely. I mean, he was 80 million last...
It's a more valuable asset than Pogba, isn't he?
Well, you'd think that, but I think Pogba's a walking... This is the other thing. Pogba's a walking advertising board, isn't he, really?
Aha, yes.
I mean, let's be honest. Man United's sponsor is his sponsor, and it all falls into the same thing. Romelu hasn't done that yet, and that's what I'm saying. Romelu hasn't... He's not anyone's major star. He's not the face of a computer game. He's not the face of one particular football boot. In fact, anyone who's as geeky as me, he's wore three different football boots this year. He's almost putting himself out there to those brands. He hasn't signed the contract. And Everton have got to do the same. Everton have got to make him the star and say, this is who he is. And this is he's our number one. And there's one thing they can do as well to help that next season. Give him the number nine shirt.
The Kickoff with Steve Hothersall on Radio City Talk.